Extend Christian greetings again to each one here this evening. Thank you all for your prayers. I ask that you continue praying. I was blessed by the devotional, the Spirit of God, His dove, descending upon each one of us. Now, if that Spirit is upon us, I think the topic I was assigned with tonight will bring forth fruit in your lives and my life. Galatians chapter 6, verse 10 was the verse that I was given. And as ye have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Now, it might be easy for a deacon to get up and preach this, but the home deacons, I can understand why you shiver and shy away from it at times. But I'll plead a cause, don't wait on the deacon to do good. It is your responsibility. It is your opportunity to go out and do good, not just one or two people. As it says here, as we, who, every one of us, have opportunity. As you have opportunity, what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to do good. To who? All men. Not just certain people, but to everyone, and especially unto those who are the household of faith. We could say our own church families. That's who we need to especially do good unto. I'd like to start off with the verses out of Mark chapter 12. As we think of someone doing good, or doing what she could in service for God. Mark chapter 12, verse 41. And Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury. And many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which made a farthing. And he called unto him his disciples, and said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast in into the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. This poor widow lady here, she had two mites. Today we would maybe say two pennies, $2. That's all she had. She didn't have much, but she was willing to give what she had for God. Here's a quote I come across for this. She done what she could, not what she could not do, not what she thought might be done, not what she would like to do, not what she would do if she had more time, not what someone else thought she ought to do, but she done what she could. So tonight I ask you, are you doing what you can? It is important for you and I to answer that question. Are we doing what we can for each other? Those in need. Now, she had a willing mind, which was very key, where she could give her all. I don't expect your deacons to sit and watch as you all put your money in the offering. That's not what we're doing. How Jesus did. But he noticed. God notices the little things. So children, giving someone a cup of cold water, giving someone a sticker, or just a little piece of paper with a flower drawn on it, that is doing service. God gave you that opportunity. Take it. God wants you to do good deeds, kind deeds. Learn at a young age to be willing to reach out and help. In the Bible times where this took account, in the temple they had boxes scattered throughout the temple there where people could place their money. This widow lady came and she gave all she had to live on. Everything. She had nothing. Now who of us have ever given all we had? I haven't. We give percentage. Or what do we go by? 5%, 10%, 15%. As I feel led, as I can, or how do we go by? When we consider giving a certain percentage of our income a great accomplishment, we resemble those who gave of their abundance. If we only give a certain percentage, we consider that really something. I might say, I'm going to use the term 10%. That's kind of what, you know, we're known as, whatever. If you only give it, well, I gave my 10% today, so I'm good to give. You're just giving of your abundance. You're not giving more than that. Here, Jesus was admiring generous and sacrificial giving. Giving till it hurt. As believers, we should consider increasing our giving, whether money, time, or talents, to a point beyond convenience or comfort. The value of a gift should be determined not by the amount, but by the spirit in which it is given. So God values your spirit of giving. Not in the amount you give, but in the spirit in which you give it. A gift given grudgingly or for recognition loses its value in the eyes of God. Now when you give, think of the children giving something small. A heart's small gifts are more pleasing to God than large gifts when they are given out of gratitude. Now a child giving what it has, we might think of this little piece of paper with a flower drawn on it. She gives it to someone she admires. It might be a school teacher. It might be whoever. She's giving what she's got. God notices the little things. And I would like to really drill that into us. God notices the little things that we give. He doesn't want us to just, he's not asking us to give huge necessarily always, but just little things and faithful in giving, faithful in doing. I'd like to read the parallel scripture in Luke chapter 21 of this widow lady here. Luke 21, verses 1 through 4. And he looked up and saw the rich men casting their gifts into the treasury. And he saw a certain poor widow casting in thither two mites. And he said, of a truth I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast in more than they all. For all these have of their abundance cast in into the offering of God, but she of her penury cast in all the living that she had. Now she gave all she had to live on. Out of her extreme poverty, she was extremely poor, but yet she gave all she had. She was willing to give it all over to God. Not only was she poor, but she was also a widow. She also had a few resources for earning money. No, she didn't have much chance of earning more money, but she was willing to give what she had. Her small gift was a great sacrifice, but she did it willingly. How much am I willing to give? Can I give all of myself? No, for us today, most of us, giving financially, giving money-wise, is very easy. But what about giving myself? Taking time out of my schedule, my work, to go help someone else. And I remember as a young lad having barn raisings or work bees, and you'd help each other build a house, you'd help each other build your barn or whatever it was. You took off of work and you went and helped each other. Today it's a lot easier for me to just write out a check. I stay at work and help out somewhere. Not saying that's wrong, but why? Where are we going? What lesson are we conveying to our children? Now, Jesus set a perfect example of giving. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Verse 8. For you know that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye might through his poverty might be rich. And herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you, who have begun before, not only to do, but also to do forward a year ago. Now therefore perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, and that many be a performance also out of that which ye have. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to the man that he hath, and not according to that he hath not. We need a willing mind like Jesus. He set the perfect example, giving his life for you and I. He sacrificed everything he had. He left the glories of heaven, came down to a world that was terrible. It was pitiful. But yet he was willing to come down so you and I can have eternal life. What a tremendous example of giving all he had. Willing to leave what he had for your sake and my sake. Are we willing to give up to serve others as Jesus did? How we give of ourselves reflects our devotion to Christ. How you give of yourself reflects your devotion to Christ. Reflects what Christ means to you, how you give of yourself. We need to have a willing mind to be able to serve others so that God can be blessed. In our giving, it is very important that we do it for the honor and glory of God, not of ourselves. If we're doing it only of ourselves, we've lost the blessing. We're not going to be blessed. But we need to give so God can be blessed. We need to give of ourselves generously. Give till it hurts. But don't give till it hurts your family and those who depend on you. But give what you can. Our willingness to give enthusiastically and cheerfully is more important than the amount of service we do. God wants wholehearted giving. Matthew chapter 10. I have quite a few scriptures tonight, so I'll try to keep moving. Matthew chapter 10, verse 42. And whosoever shall give to drink one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. A cup of cold water, just giving your child a cup of cold water, you're going to have a reward for it. You busy mothers, how do I have time? Why don't you just go to the faucet and get your own drink? You know where it is. Can you cheerfully give him that cup of water? Jesus set the example how to give. A cup of cold water, not warm, not hot, but cold. When we give that cup of cold water, it's a model of unselfish service. You know, a child usually can't give that favor back, and it won't necessarily give it to you in return, but as we do it willingly, we are giving. We're giving what God has given us. God notices every good deed we do or don't do as if it was him receiving it. So God notices every good deed you do or don't do as if he was the one receiving it. What an unselfish act can you do for someone today? Be willing to give. Give that cup of cold water. God will notice those deeds of kindness. Giving is the best service we can do for God. Matthew chapter 25, verse 34. Matthew 25, verse 34. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was a hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in? Or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto the one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. The parable here describes acts of mercy. And it's something that we can do every day. We can show these acts of mercy every day. Now these acts don't depend on our wealth or ability or intelligence. But they're just simple acts. Freely given, freely receive. Now, we have no excuse to neglect those in need. We have so much, but yet there are so many people that have nothing, practically nothing. Now, we shouldn't think that it's the responsibility belongs to the state, government handouts, or to the church, or to someone else. It is our responsibility to give. The point of this parable is the importance of serving where service is needed. The focus of this parable is that we should love everyone, every person, and serve everyone that we can. That's what Jesus was trying to say. To love and to serve where we can. Such love for others glorifies God by reflecting our love for him. Now, Jesus asks each one of us to be personally involved in giving. He wants each one of us to do what we can. We cannot be saved by our deeds of service without faith in Christ. Now, doing all the good deeds we want won't get us to heaven. We need salvation to get us to heaven. But when salvation enters our hearts, then we will give. We will pass it on to others. Our faith lacks sincerity if it doesn't prompt us to reach out to others. No, our faith is not very deep if we're not motivated to reach out to others. God says he wants our service to go beyond our own personal growth. He wants us to go on to others, to pass out acts of kindness, generosity to those in need. To feed the hungry, the homeless, and anyone else in need. We're supposed to be there to help and to give to them. God gives us the motivation and the energy to help others by continually restoring us with the ever-flowing refreshment of his Spirit. Now, there's times we give where we just feel like, I'm done. I just can't go on anymore. And, you know, as church leaders, we face that sometimes. It feels like I've given all I can. The hospital bills are this high. The needs are huge. We have this person that needs help. We have that person that needs help. And we're like, where are we going to go? But as we just come back to God, God will give us the motivation and the energy to help others. He will restore unto us as we allow him to. We can't do it on our own. It is very important that we realize that we need God. Without God's Spirit in us, helping others can become a chore. It becomes, do I have to, instead of, yes, I want to. Now, Jesus spoke of the Holy Spirit as rivers of living water in John chapter 7. Drink deeply of his Spirit as you do your work, and you will find the inner strength and joy needed to serve others with love. We allow that flowing of God's Spirit to flow in to us, through us, out to others. It can be a blessing. In 1 Kings chapter 17, we have the account of Elijah and the widow lady there. How he asked her to make him a cake. And this poor widow lady, she had nothing, so to speak. Starts off there in verse 8. For the sake of time, I'm not going to read the verses. But she thought she was preparing her last meal for her and her son. She was out gathering two sticks. She was going to go make a fire. Then she was going to make a cake and they were going to die. But her simple act of faith produced a miracle. She was willing to look to someone else to take care of a need over here before herself. And it produced a miracle. She trusted Elijah and gave him all that she had to eat in order to feed him. Faith is a step between promise and fulfillment. She took that step of faith, that promise that was laid out to her, if you do this, I will do this. And God is still doing that to us today. Now, how much am I willing to give? Am I willing to give someone my last meal in my house so they can be blessed? Can I help someone else before meeting all my needs? Now, this poor widow lady gave all, knowing what it would cost her. Are we able to see past our own wants and help those in need? In return for her service, God gave life back to her son. Her reward, she was doing all she could. She was willing to do what she could. She fed the prophet. In Proverbs chapter 3, verses 27 and 28. Proverbs 3, verse 27. Withhold not good from them to whom it is due, when it is in thy power of thine hand to do it. Say not unto thy neighbor, go and come again, and tomorrow I will give thee, but when thou hast it by thee. Now let's not ignore the opportunities to do good to others, especially those in our own church. When we ignore those opportunities, we are being selfish, uncaring, and unjust. Let's look out for those in need. Let's not tell them, oh, you come back tomorrow. I'm busy today. But let's give as an opportunity, as a need arise. Now, we are helpful and generous to others, not because of any reward we might receive, but because of doing so is a mark of a committed follower of God. And that's why we do good to those. That's why we don't withhold our hand from giving. The evidence of this kind of attitude is shown in action. Now, how might you be able to give? Now, for as youth, you might think, how can I give? How can I help somebody? Maybe it's helping a busy mother or a father that is very busy at work. raising a family, and his yard needs cleaned up, and his barn needs repaired, and now the list could go on and on. Maybe it's a mother with a crying child, teething child, and a whole row of things that need to be done. Just take a loaf of bread, a dozen of cookies, just something simple will mean tremendously. Just doing a little deed of kindness. Visit someone in the hospital. Take them a meal. Offer your service for a day. Tell them, look, call someone up. I want to come help you today. What do you got working? I want to give you a day of service. Be willing to be there. You'll be surprised. I think you'll be blessed more than the person you help by just giving your own of yourself. Withholding what is in our power to give in service to others begins to create in us an attitude of greed and a lack of compassion. Be as eager to do good to others as you'd have them do good to you. Be willing to get dirty to help others. Apply your whole heart willingly. Be willing to change your schedule so that others can be blessed. Now, getting dirty for the sake of others, that's a challenge. Are we willing to get down and get dirty with them and help them? To be a blessing to them? Maybe get in the ditch right with them. Dig that ditch for them. Plant those flowers. Hoe the garden, whatever it is. Be there to help. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Verse 6. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall also reap sparingly, and he that which soweth bountifully shall also reap bountifully. Every man according as he is purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, and that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, and his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sowing, and increase the fruits of your righteousness. And these verses tell us how to give of ourselves. There was a survey done by folks that live over 100 years of age. And they were asked, what was the key for long life? Number one, gratitude. Number two, generously giving of time and money. That was the second one. Generously giving of themselves. That's what they say was the key to long life. Now, at times we feel hesitant to give generously to God because we worry about not having enough money left over to meet our own needs. Now, that is real. We are called to take care of our own as well. But let's not be that the driving factor for not giving. Let's commit that over to God. As it says here, God knows what we need. And he will always provide for us. We may think, what about retirement or emergencies? What if I lose my job? But Paul assured us here that God will be able to meet all our needs. God is almighty. He is sovereign. He owns the whole world. Moreover, he blesses those that give back to him. Now, as Christians, we need to give back to God that which he has given us. That's in the way of giving to others. Christians who give back to God will lack nothing they really need. We will never lack what we really need. We might lack what we want, but we won't lack what we really need. God's favor and grace will be shown on those who give of themselves. Now, as we want God's grace and favor, he will be there. God has promised to open the windows of heaven and pour out his blessings that are there, that there shall not be enough room to receive it. That's in Malachi 3, verse 10. God is saying, I want to pour out these blessings on you, but there's no room. That's because you're not giving. As we give, there can be room, and it goes on out through. So let's not let worry rob us of God's blessings. You know, a giving attitude is more important than the amount given. You know, we don't need to be embarrassed about the sizes of our gifts. Don't never be embarrassed about the size of your gift. You know, recently at church at home, the ladies had this gift exchange prayer, sister. And they, back on the shelves, there was all kinds of things. And I watched that pretty closely. And you know, some were big. Some were just a small, brown, plain bag. And I'm here to say, I think that small, brown, simple bag meant more than this big, lavish gift. I'm not criticizing the big gift, but don't be embarrassed of giving what you can. You know, we're not all blessed the same. Maybe a dollar is all we can give, but let's give it. You know, God sees our heart, and he sees how much we have to give. God himself was a cheerful giver. He sent his only son. We are created in his image, so let's give others our all, just like Jesus gave his all for us. You know, at times we find it difficult to let go of ourselves and give. You know, let's reflect on what God has given us, the resources he has given us, and what he has put into us. And let's not be stingy. Let's let go and let God take over. When we invest what God has given us in his work, he will provide us with even more to give in his service. When you invest back what God has given you in his work, in God's work, God will provide us with even more to give in his service. Now, am I willing to give up going to the coffee shop, going to the auction, whatever it may be you were really looking forward to doing to go help somebody in need? Maybe it's staying home and studying to teach Sunday school or have a topic or a work project. But what am I willing to give up of myself for someone else? That really shows how much we're committed to God. In Deuteronomy 15, God told the Israelites that they're always going to have the poor with them when they reach the promised land. And they were told they're supposed to help them. You know, today we have the poor with us as well. You know, today many people conclude that people are needy through some fault of their own. This kind of reasoning makes it easier to close our hearts and hands to those in need. But we should not invent reasons for ignoring those in need. We should respond to those needs no matter who or what was responsible for their conditions. I fully believe that God has set people, poor people, in the church and people with extra money in the church as well. That is a test for the church. Teaches us to give, teaches us to receive. The importance of giving for each other. If there would be no needs, we'd be a self-centered person. But as we give to others, we realize that we need others as well. Now, who are those in need in your church? You know who is in need. In the community, you know the needs around to help out. You know, if you don't see the needs in your own community, in your own church, how will you see the needs when you go to some foreign mission field? If you don't see the needs in your own church, how are you going to see the needs in Ukraine or Africa or Bahamas or wherever it is? How are you going to see those needs if you can't see the needs in front of you? Now look for ways to help others, especially those in your own church. The sick, the elderly, the busy mothers, the hardworking fathers are trying to provide. You know, there's times that as ministers, they could use a help too, lifting hand. How many hours go into a sermon? It varies on us. Some of us, it might take 10, some it might take 12, some it might take 4. $30 an hour, 10 hours, $300, whole Saturday. Do you want me to keep going? But no. We're blessed. I'm not complaining, but I'm just saying look out for your ministry. The minister's wives, no, they give. They're there supporting their husbands. They didn't ask for the position. You know, your minister's wife might only have 2 children or 3, but that doesn't mean she's got all the time to help others. Are you willing to be there and help? Mark chapter 14. Verses 3 through 9 gives us the story of Mary anointing the feet of Jesus. She brought this alabaster box, very precious. She broke the box and poured it on his head in verse 3. Then there were some there that had indignation within themselves and said, "Why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and given to the poor." And they murmured against her. And Jesus said, "Let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For ye have the poor with you always, and whensoever ye will, ye may do to them good. But me ye have not always." She has done what she could. She has come beforehand to anoint my body to burying. Here she had done what she could. It was all she could do was to come and anoint the feet of Jesus. But she was willing to give and willing to do. That alabaster box pretty much cost her a year's wages. How many of us are willing to give our year's wages? What is our year's wages? $80,000, $70,000, $100,000. You put the dollar amount in there. How much are you willing to give for the sake of Jesus? She gave of her best, all that she had. Now let's not be critical of others as they give. Jesus praised Mary for her unselfish act. She loved Jesus. She was devoted to him so completely that she considered no sacrifice too great for her Lord. Selfishness in our heart as we give to others hinders God's blessings. Well, we give selfishly only because I have to. We've lost a blessing. And it hinders God's blessing to work through your life to others. Selfish service is not willing to help certain people. Am I willing to help anyone, regardless of who it is or what they need help with? Am I willing to give up my personal agenda for the sake of someone else? Getting down on my knees to do service, just like Mary did here. She got down on her knees, down to the feet of Jesus. Are you willing to get down to the feet of someone else and do a good deed? Or are you too good up here? This person is down here. No, I can't go there. Luke chapter 10. We think of different levels of people. Luke chapter 10, verse 30. And Jesus answering said, "A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came a certain priest that way. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. And a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him, and bound up his wounds, pouring oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to the inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave it to the host, and said unto them, 'Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee.' Which of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves?" And they said, "He that showed mercy unto him." Then said Jesus unto him, "Go and do thou likewise." Now in this story, the lawyer viewed the wounded man as a topic for discussion, not as a neighbor or a person in need. The thieves viewed him as a victim to exploit. The priest as a problem to avoid. The Levite as an object of curiosity. Only the Samaritan treated him as a person to love. From this parable, we can learn 3 principles about loving our neighbor. We see these 4 different people, how they looked at this human being going, this poor victim that was robbed. Which one are we? 1, a lack of love is often easy to justify, even though it is never right. Now we can come up with a whole host of reasons. I'm guilty of 1 of 2. Why I don't have time to help out. But it's never right. Now, who is our neighbor? Our neighbor is anyone of any race, creed, or social background. Anyone who is in need. 3, love means acting to meet the person's need. Wherever you live, people in need are close by. Don't pass by the other side. Instead, show Jesus' love to them. Can you and I get down in the ditch with my fellow church brother and sister? Can we get down and help them out, regardless what they're facing? You know, maybe they're just extremely discouraged or going through a hard time. Are we willing to get down and get dirty with them? Help them out of that ditch. Are we willing to let them ride and we walk? Are you willing to give them your vehicle and say, here, you take this and go. I'll walk home. Or I'll do without for a day or two. Now, no one should be below our dignity to help. Are we willing to help those in need? In Romans chapter 12, verses 8 through 16 tells us a lot about how to relate to each other and how to help each other and the needs and meeting those needs. You know, most of us know how to be courteous to others. We know how to speak kindly. We know how to avoid hurting people's feelings. And we appear to take an interest in them. We're skilled in pretending to feel love and compassion when we hear of others' needs. You know, we can so easily grab that phone. Oh, our sympathies. God bless you. You know, we're praying for you. But how deep is that? Are we really, really concerned? Do we really care? But God has called us to genuinely love that goes far beyond pretense and politeness. Genuine love requires concentration and effort. It means helping others become better people. That's what giving is helping someone becoming better. You know, it demands our time, our money, our personal involvement. Let's look for people who need love. Look for ways to love like Jesus in all you do. You know, we have the Christian hospitality here in this chapter. You know, Christian hospitality differs from social entertaining. Entertaining focuses on the host. The home must be spotless. The food must be well prepared and abundant. The host must appear relaxed and good-natured. Hospitality, by contrast, focuses on the guests, their needs, whether for a place to stay, nourishing food, or a listening ear, or acceptance. They are the primary concern. Hospitality can happen in a messy home. It can happen around a dinner table where the main dish is a can of soup. It can happen while the host and the guests are doing chores together. Don't hesitate to offer hospitality just because you're too tired or too busy or you don't have enough money to entertain. Don't select certain people to entertain. Don't select people that help you climb the social ladder. Treat all people with respect. Those of a different race, those with disabilities, those who are poor, who are young, who are old. No, we must never consider ourselves being beneath us in any way. Nor are we too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people? Are we able to do a humble task with others? Do you welcome conversation with unattractive, non-prejudiced people? Are you willing to just speak with anybody, or does it have to be a certain group of people? Can we do it without prejudice in our lives? Are we willing to befriend newcomers and the entry-level people, or do we relate only to those who help us get ahead socially? Who are we willing to help and associate with? Well, we've had a great host here this weekend. We've been blessed. We had lots of good food and entertained. Place to sleep. It was good. God bless you all for it. Galatians 5, verse 13. For brethren, we have been called into liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to do the flesh, but by love serve one another. The last part, but by love serve one another. Serve out of love. That's the best way to serve. And the only way we can do all we can is to do it out of heart of love. Again, Galatians chapter 6, verse 10. For as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are the household of faith. Our service to God is no greater than our service to man. Again, your service to God is no greater than your service to your fellow man. Let's kneel for prayer.